Hello, homies, and welcome to the first episode of Easily Entertained. I am your host, Maddie McClain, and I am just so excited to be sitting down here and putting this baby out on a shelf for your purchase. Except it's free, because it's a podcast. And it's streaming everywhere. Everywhere. I'm so happy. I just said that. But I'm genuinely so happy. This has been in the works for many years, largely in my brain. I spend so much time, and an ungodly amount of time, one could say, on reading about and catching up with pop culture, celebrity drama, you name it. I just find it all super interesting. And the way that it translates into just kind of everyday themes that go on. One reflects the other, you know, chicken or the egg kind of shit. Like what TV shows are super popular usually has something to do with the general, for lack of scientific term, vibe of the country at large. And, well, I had to know what was going on in media and what people are paying attention to. I've worked in advertising agencies for the last 6-7 years of my life. That's kind of what drove my interest. I did media planning and strategy for a couple of Fortune 500 brands and learned a shitload. I've recently turned freelance. So I'm also a digital marketer and now a podcaster, baby, baby. I'm going to put all of that to use by curating. Here's the key word here, curating pop culture news and entertainment media from music, movies, TV to books. And I can promise you one thing, there probably won't be musicals. You can hate me if you want, but I don't love musicals. I did in fact love Glee back in the day. So I don't know, maybe that part of me is just, you know, waiting to be awoken from the deep slumbers of the recesses of my brain and general interest. But alas, we're here today, and please forgive my voice. This is not how I usually sound. Right now I'm sounding like a 65-year-old smoker. Just goes through packs of Marlboro. Does anyone, you know, when you say a word multiple times, like back to back, 5 or so times, and then it just stops sounding like a word at all, and it really makes you question yourself. Like, I swear I know the English language, but at times I question my literacy. Oh, there's many things I question. But you know what? Life's a state of questions, baby. Anyways, so I'll give you a little state of the union of today's episode. We will start with a little bit of pop culture news, that new. We'll talk about the Ultimatum Season 2. Non-spoiler commentary. Don't worry. Do not worry. I hate spoilers. Then we'll jump into some Batch Nation updates. There's been a lot of shit going down, and we'll talk about Scooter Braun Exodus and some new music you guys should definitely listen to. Then jump right into today's topic, main entertained entree, if you will, which is Burning Man, the Sometime City. And you'll understand that, but Burning Man is going down right now as we speak, so feels relevant. The Ultimatum Season 2 is available on Netflix, and I did you all the favor, I'm a martyr, I know, of binging all available episodes in one weekend. Remember, I'm recovering from an illness, okay? Okay, before you judge me, but that's not to say I won't do it again. Anyways, Ultimatum Season 2 is out, highly recommend. It's just the purest form of reality TV, okay? Reality TV is all about, my favorite word, Schadenfreude. What does that mean? Well, It's a German word. It's one of the few German words I know. Contrary to my extremely white looks and possible ties to German heritage, I don't really know. That's few. I know very, very few words in German. In fact, I will tell you, I don't think Germans really like me, at least not the females. So as one does, I went and studied abroad in Barcelona, and a group of us, you take your weekend trips and go gallivant about Europe. I know, I'm very lucky. It was incredible. I didn't learn much, but I did learn a lot of life. You know what I'm saying? And unless you're my mom and dad, I learned so much and it was so worth the educational piece. So we go to Germany, specifically Munich, and we're going during their spring fest. It was my, I guess, spring semester of junior year. We all got our outfits on. We're staying at this hostel. And yes, I am indeed wearing a traditional, like, milkmaid-y looking fit. I think it's one of my better looks, really. I think it was. Natural habitat. So there's a group of Americans, us, waiting to get seated. And they have all these picnic tables, right? And so you're, like, sitting. You can be sat with strangers, potentially, or your group or whatever. We wait our turn. And, of course, I mean, it's not really, like, you just have a German lady up there being like, okay, your turn. And she'll just yell your name. And so you got to be ready. You know, it's doggy dog world out there, baby. Doggy dog roof. Yeah. So we get chosen. It's our turn. It's time for us to go to the table, okay? So we go to the table and there's a group of dudes sitting there on the end. And there are probably six of us girls, probably like four guys in our group. So us girls sit down with these now stranger men. Well, they're probably our age too, so young. And everything's cool. Everyone's nice. And we're having fun, laughing. We take a selfie, like, you know, ultimate form of instant bond. You take a selfie together. If that doesn't scream soulmates, I don't know what does. And minding our own business. And then all of a sudden this group of girls approaches. And it was like, they're standing over us, like towering over. And we're like, oh, hi. I guess the guys that we sat down next to. And we're like, oh, sorry. She sat us here. We waited. She said we could sit here. And the guys just stopped speaking at this point. We're like, what? We just took a selfie together. Help. And the girls were like, this is our spot. Y'all need to get up. And we're like, oh, okay. Let's ask the woman. We're like, the guys are kind of hearing what's going on behind us. The guys that came with us. Next thing I know, because we hadn't moved yet, this bitch, this German girl, grabs my Stein, and just chucks the beer at me. Just pours my own beer all over me. And everyone just stops. And that's when my friends were like, oh my God, like, are you kidding? We're getting up to move. And you'd think that maybe they're used to this kind of shindiggery, but I swear to you, in that moment, it felt like out of a TV show. Everyone stops and is just watching us. And I freeze. You know, there's fight or flight, and then there's freeze. I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, I freeze. I just, boop. If I don't move, maybe it didn't happen. Or you can't, you know? So I don't move, and I'm just shocked. Also, cold and sticky and out of beer at Springfest. That is violently illegal. And a fight ensues where, like, the guys stand up when they see this, and then they're yelling and screaming. And surprisingly, the woman who was, I guess, the hostess or whatever, kicked out the Germans. She kicked out her own people. And we stayed, and then later on, some other girl, like, shoved me off of a bench or so. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if I have a sign on me that says, like, fuck with me, I dare you. Hee hee. You know what I mean? Like, ha ha. Anyways, there's more where that came from, but I am entirely off topic. Just felt the need to share that with you all. So I literally had to pause and figure out what I was talking about. And I remembered. It was from our favorite German word, Schadenfreude. All right, we're back on track, folks. Reality TV and Schadenfreude. What it means, it is the name for, I didn't even tell you what it meant. It's the act of, I guess, of taking joy or pleasure in watching other people's pain or misfortune. So already the basis upon which reality TV is so popular is inherently kind of shitty of us. But you know what? That is human and we are shitty, okay? We just try to not be every day. don't worry, Mel Robbins. You can keep your job. Okay. The ultimatum is the ultimate form of just great reality TV. It is so uncomfortably just wild and crazy. It's from the makers of Love is Blind, which if you haven't heard of Love is Blind, are you in a pod yourself? Like, what? You get married after a week and you date in pods and you don't see them until you agree to marry the person. Yeah. This show, the way that it works is kind of like in the name, but these couples come on the show with one of the people in the couple having issued an ultimatum of either by the end of this, what they call experiment or experience on the show, they must leave engaged or broken up and they leave alone. Or option three is they end up being together with somebody else that they meet on the show. So all of these couples, they start together, and then the first episode, you get to know them a little bit. There's like five couples, and then they quote break up and start dating each other. And they all like see this happen. Like they do it in a group setting, and then I guess they have their own dates too. They date each other. And then they will then make a choice of who they will then spend a, quote, trial marriage with and live together and see what it's like to be with somebody else to ultimately decide if are they just truly not ready for marriage or is it the person that they're with? Is there something that they learn from the other person that they realize they don't have in their current partner that they're either wanting to get married or being pressured upon to get married? Very interesting. It truly is, I guess. Like, it sounds dumb when they call it an experiment themselves, but it truly is. So they live with somebody new of one of the other couples. And then after that, they come together with their original couple and they live with them and probably work through some trauma that they experienced while dating somebody else in front of them. And then ultimately they will make the choice of sticking with who they're with and getting married or not. Mind-boggling. First of all, the people that apply to the show, that's got to be a unique sample of humans. The kind of people that even go on reality TV shows, you know, it takes a certain kind of person. Not negative or positive. It can be any of those things. But right, like not everybody is going to want to put themselves in that. But then there are people that will, obviously. And thank God for those people. Love reality TV. I will literally be working, I don't know, writing a post or something or researching and have like housewives screaming at each other in the background. I don't know, just something about that soothes my soul. Can't explain it. This show's already very interesting, and what they did right this season, there was one season prior, and they released them in different spurts. Like each week they'd have like four episodes released on Netflix. Finally, they realized that like social media and the internet like exists, you know? So people could look up and get spoil things, and they waited a long time to do the reunion. Really, and it was all old news by the time that they aired the reunion. They've made up for it, and all episodes are available on Netflix. And as of today, August 30th, the finale and reunion episodes are out. I haven't watched it yet, so I'm sure there'll be lots to talk about once that comes out. But it's very good. I highly recommend you see it. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 question mark. You'll see why. About 5 couples. And there's a few where there's a high school sweetheart couple. This is Ryan and James. Ryan, the girlfriend, issued the ultimatum. They've never dated anybody else. So that's an interesting aspect of an ultimatum. Then there's the like hot couple, Antonio and Roxanne. Antonio, the boyfriend, gave the ultimatum, and Roxanne doesn't necessarily believe in marriage and seems to be like, her whole personality trait is being busy all the time because of her work and her career. You know those people. You know them. You ask them, like, what's going on? And the only thing that they tell you is that they've been busy and work's crazy and I'm so busy. Yeah. That's her. And I mean, I guess this is somewhat a spoiler, but she makes a lovely villain. Really good. Gotta give it to her. She's probably great, but in like real life, who knows? I don't know. Then there are two other couples, Raya and Trey. And Trey, the boyfriend, gave the ultimatum. Seems like he's somewhat older than her. They've only been dating for 2 years, but I don't know. Whatever itches your scratch. That's definitely not a saying, but we're rocking with it. We'll see. Right from the jump, the girl doesn't seem very interested. So you've got that kind of perspective. And then there's another couple, Kat and Alex. And Kat, the girlfriend, gave the ultimatum. They seem fun. They seem to have dated for a while and they travel a bunch. And they call themselves the adventurous, fun-loving couple. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how fun-loving they are. Highly recommend. Also, side note, so Vanessa and Nick Lachey are the hosts, and Vanessa's entire personality is that she gave Nick an ultimatum, and it gets super cringy watching her host these shows. It's so cringy. There was a literal petition made that had thousands of signatures, thousands, to remove her as a host. And I guess also Nick, he's kind of like the puppy dog, just like smiles and like nods and reads the teleprompter kind of well. Yeah, so there was a little petition to kick them off because in the last, I think it was last Love is Blind season, Vanessa kept asking, like being very pushy with each couple about when they're gonna have babies. Like, I swear, every third word out of her mouth was babies. So what about babies? Babies? And to the point to where one of the contestants was like, I don't really feel comfortable, finally. So, yeah, the world spoke. And I think that they may have listened for the next season of Love is Blind. I think one of the original couples that have lasted might now be hosts. But they've filmed all of these back to back to back, like, years ago. So, I don't know. I do know. Or hear what the word is on the streets. Is that because of the SAG strike? You know, all the writers and actors that are striking to get the writers paid more. That's still ongoing. And during this time, that's why reality TV is so popular. And we'll probably see more of it if it continues. Because kind of production has stopped on all other other scripted series. So, I mean, I get that's a silver lining, I suppose, but like just pay them more, I guess, you know? I don't know. I don't know enough to even speak on that, I'll be honest, of like exactly how much they're paid, because immediately my first thought was like, well, we have like teachers and stuff that are paid diddly and they're educating our next generation. Shouldn't we pay them more? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Hot take. Well, it's not really a hot take at all. It's probably more like lukewarm to like room temp, because I think we can all agree on that, right? Batch Nation updates. There's been a lot going on in the Bachelor universe. Charity's season just ended, and honestly, I gotta say, I fully support her choice, Dalton. If, you know, at this point, if that was a spoiler, like, were you gonna watch it? I don't know. So, yeah, it was actually, there are so many times where they'll make the choice and you just are, all right, we'll wait for the breakup post on Instagram in a few months. Like, check you later. Namely, Katie Thurston season. I'm not a big fan of Katie Thurston. I gotta be honest. She's a lot. But she's going on to another TV show. It's called, like, Fuckboy Island. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I have not watched that. But if you want me to do that for you, I will. I can. Because I'm a friend like that. Anyways, so I am very happy for Charity and Dalton. I think that they're going to be great together. And now, with Joey as our bachelor, I will be fully tuned in on that season. Let me tell you, I will be locked and loaded. I think in the past few seasons, really, the Bachelor producers have made some questionable choices for their leads. Like, nobody was asking for them, you know, but they did it anyway. And I feel like this one was a people's choice. You know what I'm saying? Joey is adorable, super sweet. I loved him on Charity season. And that'll be a good one. But before we even get to that, we already have Bachelor in Paradise and the new spinoff, The Golden Bachelor. And those will be premiering back to back, I believe, on September 28th. That's a big day, y'all. Bachelor in Paradise, so entertaining. You know, it's kind of like all of the parts that you love, at least for me, all the drama and the craziness with more people on the show, you know, in the beginning episodes of Bachelor, Bachelorette. But somehow, with that being said, I think, if not the same amount, maybe majority of the couples that are still together that have met either on their season, on their show, or through Bachelor Nation and are still together, I would say come from Bachelor in Paradise, which is rather shocking. Like, this past weekend, Noah and Abby, a couple, they got engaged. They're getting married. You have Kaylin Miller-Keys and Dean, and they got engaged as well. And then Hannah Godwin and Dylan Barber also met on Bachelor in Paradise. They just got married in Paris. She's one of those, like, drop-dead gorgeous, just beautiful girls that you want to hate, but you can't. She seems very sweet and fun, and, like, when she goes to sleep and if she, like, drools at night, she wakes up and it's, like, latte art on her bed, just beautiful and, like, shining and, like, a dove flies through and it's like, good morning, you know what I mean? That kind of just, like, existence in life. Like, I can guarantee you, for me, it'd be like, I wake up and there's just, like, slobber on me and, like, a horse puts its head through. You know, so, like, still cool, still lovely and loyal and fun, but it's not a singing dove. I don't know if that went right over everyone else's heads, because that was straight from the dome, baby. Straight from the dome. What were we talking about? Right. Weddings in Paris. So I see far more success from Bachelor in Paradise spinoff than I would say the regular normal Bachelor, Bachelorette seasons. But one of the series, or their next series or spinoff that's coming up, is The Golden Bachelor. And I am personally so excited for this. It's their senior edition, I suppose. And let's be honest, let's get one thing straight here. I think that's part of the problem. When you see 21-year-olds on the show, like, I'm ready to get married, get engaged. And they would even be dating, like, a bachelor or someone, like, with kids and stuff. And I'm like, were we born worlds apart? Because there's no way in hell that me at 21 had any business getting married. I probably had very little business, like, I don't know, doing much of anything outside of leaving the confines of, like, college. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were choosing between Moscato and Four Loko. Well, that was probably more like 18, but anyways, you know what I mean. So I think that we can see some, I don't know, a real shot at love, and it's going to be really cool to watch, and I think it's a great idea. And something they definitely did a good job with. I swear, the producers and Kris Kardashian, oops, Whoa. Might be odd. The producers of The Bachelor and Kris Jenner, they work hard, baby. They work hard. And things work out for them, generally. So, the star is Jerry Turner. He's a 72-year-old widower from Indiana. He's a restaurateur. And he has two daughters. And he's looking to share, quote, the sunset years of life. It's really sweet. So, reading from People magazine, he also says, before beginning the first Golden Bachelor, Turner was a restaurateur, right? Though he is now retired. He also has a number of hobbies that he's excited to share with a loved one, including hosting barbecues, playing pickleball, trendy Jerry, cheering on his favorite Chicago sports teams. Chicago loves their sports teams. Four-wheeling and spending time with friends and family at restaurants and local haunts. Haunts. I love that he used the word haunts. I think we're going to come out of this season with lots of good old-school vintage phrases. You know, that's fun. That's half the reason I love Love Island. I get all those sick British slang. Like, the banter was pretty good, but like, you know, he was a little bit of a doozy. He was a little bit, I don't think we're keeping this. I'm sorry, everyone. Anyways, very excited. And they just released the contestants that are vying for his heart. There are 22 spectacular looking women. And among them is actually The Bachelor, ex-Bachelor, Matt James's mom, Patty, which is so cute. We love her. Matt James, who production just erased his personality when he was The Bachelor. And it's such a shame. You should follow him on TikTok. He and Rachel Kirkconnell, the girl he ended up choosing, although that was after a whole other set of controversy. But we won't go there. And he's really, really funny. So that's cute. We love it. We love it. We love to see it. And our boy Jesse Palmer is still hosting both of those shows. So we will be discussing plenty of Bachelor topics too in the upcoming episodes. And this Scooter Braun Exodus saga that everyone is talking about, it took the internet by storm. It's kind of like another example of Schadenfreude, where nobody, I say this, but nobody really likes Scooter Braun. He is the villain that basically took all the rights of Taylor Swift's six albums, her first six albums of music, and then sold it just to make money. And like, you don't go selling your music and the rights to your music because that's a lot of royalty money, especially before like age 30. So that's why she's redone a lot of her albums, is to take that back. But anyway, the reports kept coming in that big name talent that he manages. So he's a music executive, manager, like of Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, who else? J Balvin. So he's got a lot of big name talent under his belt. All of a sudden they start moving and leaving him. So it was like, was this post like years later have to do with Taylor? Like, has he done something crazy? But sadly, nothing that wild has happened. It sounds like he might be just changing his position and moving out of management, but he keeps like buying and selling music labels, basically. So I don't know. According to Page Six, trusty Page Six, they say, you know, where there's smoke, there's probably fire. And that could be true. Both things could be true. But I really wish there was more exciting, more like crazy, juicy tea for that. But I don't think there is. So he did tweet out, I am no longer managing myself. I cannot be managed. And giving very much Kanye West vibes. Kanye. Oh, Lord. I supported him for so long till I couldn't, you know, till I couldn't anymore. Like, his music, so good. The OG music stuff. Anyways, that'll get me sad to talk about the demise of Kanye. It's just too much. It's just, yeah, can't support him anymore. So, bye. But that's really it on Scooter Braun. But I don't wish him the best. So, Queen Taylor, you know, it's worked out for her. So I guess it all works out in the end, huh? Good old karma. As for new music that has come out and has yet to come out, to be on the lookout for, Selena has finally released a new single called Single Soon. It's good. It's spicy. It's everything you love in a Selena Gomez song. And I do support this gal. I'll tell you what. This gal. I sound like my dad. Love you, Dad. Hi, Dad. Yeah. So I highly recommend you listen to that. We also have Zach Bryan has his new album. It's called Spotless. And I'm not a huge country music fan, even though, like, it would make a whole lot of sense if I was. I mean, I definitely will listen to it. I'm from Texas. Breathe Texas. I went to UT. You know, all the things. And I'll love a good country music during, like, tailgates before football games and stuff. But you won't really catch me listening to a lot of country music. And that's one of the few genres I would say that about. Because otherwise, I pretty much don't discriminate. But I will say, I listened to some of Zach Bryan's new album. And I like it. I like it. And, you know, don't sue me, but I do also like Morgan Wallen. I know they may be pop country or whatever, but don't come at me. It's actually quite good. He does a song with the Lumineers, which is really good. And we love the Lumineers. So one thing that has not come out yet is Drake's new album that he teased a while ago. The little tease. Little teasy tease. Called For All the Dogs. And the album artwork we've at least seen. And it's of his son Adonis drew it of a dog. It's kind of scary looking. But I don't know if we could say that about kids' drawings. You know, feels kind of weird to bag on a kid's drawing. So I'm going to just move quickly along from that and just ask you kindly, Drake, to please release that. Love you. Thanks. Bye. And now for our entertained entree, another alliteration. Yay. Cue fireworks. Woo. Oh, okay. Burning Man, which I would call the Sometimes City. Shout out to the Sometimes Island. Check them out. They, particularly my brother, Matt Blankenship Jr., put together this lovely intro and outro music. And check them out. Neon Summer, their latest single, is a bop. It is a banger. Anyways, back to Burning Man. The oh-so-elusive Burning Man. I feel like it's the festival we've all heard about, but unless you are or know a burner yourself, the details are probably about as indecipherable as Elon Musk's son's name, XAI. And yes, I consulted Google for that. So that is indeed factual. Wait, he has 10 children? I don't know about you, but I did not know this. That is crazy. 10 kids. Whoa. Okay. Oh. Wow. He has lots of children. That's pretty wild. I wonder what it's like to be Elon Musk's kid. For that to be daddy. That would be weird. That would be an experience. You know, I kind of feel like, in general, Elon's like mental state is a good dictation of the general vibe for the rest of the peasantry and the world that is normal people. If he's not doing too hot, like, neither are we. We're going downhill too. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's one of our big, he's our go-to when it comes to AI and like robots taking over the world, we have a problem. Yeah, we have something to deal with. But he named his kid AI, so I don't know. Anyways, that theory is definitely not scientifically nor anecdotally proven, but it just feels right. So we're going to roll with it, baby. Anyways, this is not about Elon Musk, and he's probably there at Burning Man right now. So honestly, I bet we can expect like a bunch of stupid features and changes to the app formerly known as Twitter, now X, thanks to whatever X or dumbass acid trip he's taking right now as we speak. Yay, Burning Man. The thing is, that is all a very stereotypical view of Burning Man. And honestly, that's kind of my idea of it too, was just like a bunch of people on drugs going out to the desert and raving their little patooties off. But it's quite interesting, and all the things that go into it that I've learned. I watched Anton somewhere, He's a YouTuber and he makes really beautiful and good kind of documentary style videos. Highly recommend. I will post his link too. But so essentially the way Burning Man started was just a few hippie friends in San Francisco, as many good stories begin, just getting probably high together and burning this 8-foot-tall, like, wooden man temple thing. Cops didn't love that. Big shock. So they moved it over to a desert in Nevada, now called Black Rock City. It is a literal town, a fully functioning town, for the few weeks that Burning Man is being prepared, and then the week, which is also crazy. I'm so tired on, like, day 3 on Sunday of a music festival. Whoa. I'm so tired on, like, day 3 of a music festival. So a week, that's something else. That's a marathon, baby. But Black Rock City, fun little facts, it's the flattest city on Earth. And in 1997, the world's highest speed record was set there at 763 miles per hour. Something that my brain just, boop, cannot compute. That's fast. Okay. So essentially, though, this place has tons of dust storms, like really intense dust storms that'll happen like on and off throughout the day, except it's not really dust. It's technically alkali because it's a dried up lake where there's obviously no longer water or life over there. But this is where Burning Man takes place. And it's this big semicircle. It's outlined by this small little fence so that no, like, trash or anything blows away. So that it's all self-contained and stuff. But it's formed as a circle. But the semicircle is where all of the roads, they're actual literal roads. And it's named after, they're named after, like, the time. Because it is a circle or semicircles, be like 3:15 and Let's Get Drunk Street and 2:45 and Party Town Street, whatever. But apparently it all makes sense. It would take like an hour by bike to cover or bike from one end to the other. So like it's a pretty good size. And then across from that semicircle of like living arrangements, people are usually in like tents or RVs, or now it's gone into like, you know, I'm sure they're luxury RVs and pretty much halfly done, like nearly nice homes from like Elon Musk and his crew. Shout out Elon, this podcast loves you. Anyways, so on the other side is called La Playa. That means beach, where the man in the very center sits, which is the big burn that happens on Saturday. But throughout the week, there are these huge, like intricate, really beautiful, full-fledged art installations and art carts throughout La Playa. And world-renowned artists, you know, work on these big displays every year, most of them to be burned later, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, so there's some real artistry going on there. And then of course you have basically art cars that look like straight out of Mad Max, just crazy. Like one is an old Boeing airplane that was moving around on wheels, and you just hop on and they're like mobile dance floors and shit. Crazy. I would love that. And you hop on, it's like, hey Tiesto, hey Kaigo. You know what I mean? That'd be sick. So their main thing too that I found super interesting is money. The whole idea is like community bigger than yourself, like doing things for others and based off of kind of an idealized society essentially. So everything is completely free. The only things that cost you money that you'll pay for are ice and coffee. So food, drinks, bike repair shops, clothing even, whatever, is all free. And people just give it away and doing it for the good of everybody else just because. Everyone has to bring their own cup. You know, you can imagine they don't like want plastic over there. California loves their paper straws. Oh my God. Soggy, floppy paper straws. Anyways, I digress. So that's cool. Their whole thing is leave no trace. So by the end of it, that's why they burn everything too. And you, if you brought, you know, you either take your trash back with you or it's not there anymore. I don't know. But then it's like there was no city and it's gone. And towards the end, they burn things, obviously. You really got to check out this video by Anton somewhere at nighttime. So there's no like street lamps or street lights or anything. So everybody's got these crazy light shows basically on all their bikes. Like everyone uses a bike to get around and stuff. You've got the art cars. You've got these just thousands, literal thousands of bars and parties going on in 24 hours. So it's crazy. It looks like a circus kind of thing. I don't know. It looks wild. And of course, you know, you've got the outfits or or lack thereof. But you're also on a desert and it's hot as hell. And dust storms are happening. So hence the Mad Max, like, chic rave attire, I guess. I don't know. But it's crazy. There's not generally cell reception either, or Wi-Fi, as you can imagine. I'm sure they've got like Starlink, or you could figure it out, but people like leave handwritten notes in a specific spot and then you can go pick it up and read it and like hope your friend sees it and meets you there. It's like everybody's cross that they bear when you go to a music festival is finding your friends if you lose them. Then you spend half the time like, I'm by this tent with the Budweiser cans. And you're like, which one? Anyways, that's my least favorite part. But I love music festivals. And as crazy as this, as Burning Man sounds, it's almost like so crazy that which I think coincidentally is kind of exactly what a lot of people do for Burning Man anyway, like go there for a literal Instagram story or something. Kind of like Coachella got like influencerified, you know? And people that have gone to Coachella multiple years in a row have been like, yeah, it's just not the same anymore. It's very much, the whole vibe is different. Just the atmosphere and the way that people, like the crowd interacts with each other and stuff. And I think you can see that. It's interesting because obviously now you have Burning Man where these elite, hugely rich people are flying in private jets. It's not so like, it's not sustainable. It's not. But, you know, it was born from this hippie mentality. And hippies are, you know, treat Mother Earth well, leave no trace, which they brought into Burning Man. And, you know, hippie ethos, really, where hippies became hippies, is in that very much peaceful group of people, make love, not war, you know, like Woodstock era, just running around in birthday suits and giving hugs and shit. And while that element is still very much alive in today's Burning Man, I think it's gotten lost in the sauce, if you will. I think the dichotomy between how it originated to what it is now is very interesting. And in fact, this kind of all came to a head in this year. There were a group of climate activists that stopped all traffic for over an hour. So from basically, you take the highway, it's a 2-lane highway, so there's not really anywhere else to go. And it's technically tribal land, so cops kind of over there operate on a different rules, I guess you could say. So there were a group of four of them. Yeah, you heard me right. Four chained together with, like, they tied themselves together with PVC pipes. I don't know. They have all these signs and they're saying, you know, burners unite, save the world, sustainability, let's ban private jets and single-use plastics. And while that's all fine and good, they're literally stopping traffic. So all of these cars and are just sitting there emitting more fuel. Like, it's literally doing the opposite. They also arrived in their cars too. And I haven't seen the video yet, so we're gonna watch it together. But apparently, the cops just have no patience for this whatsoever. So I'm gonna live watch this. Let's see. Okay, coppers coming in, big old Ford 150. Okay, it's a Ranger. Literally rammed straight into the trailer and all their signs, like out of like GTA. Is that the game? I don't know. Just pounds, and you hear these little screams. We're peaceful. Ah, we're peaceful. They're chained. Everyone's fine. No one's injured. Okay. Oh, now they're all getting arrested and kind of violently thrown to the ground. That's not that chill, but oh God. You know what I love? I love when people contradict themselves so cartoonishly that they don't even realize that they're being a cartoon. You know what I mean? Ah, man. That's what we have, people. That's what we have. We got these environmental protesters to help us, and maybe then climate change will stop. A little morbid, but you know what? That's all right. Humor is a medicine of life, baby. So I hope you'll join me next time. That's all I got for you today. Again, thank you for listening. If you made it this far too, you are the titties. And I am so excited to keep rocking and rolling with you guys. Go ahead. You know what to do. You know what to do. I'm going to be that person. Please subscribe on any streaming platform. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music, whatever. Yes, Apple Music would be Apple Podcasts, but I digress. Follow on Instagram at Easily Entertained Pod. This is Maddie McLean, and you guys stay fly, homies, all right? Love you. Till next week. Bye.